I'm so glad and want everybody to stand up and sing. It's number 860 in your hymnal.
While you're all standing, let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, take a moment and introduce yourself. Say good morning. Yeah, good. It's nice to have you here. Thanks to all of you for arranging this and doing this and participating. You're going to find out. I hope you don't have heart problems because... Yeah. And the old legs are going to be going, and you're going to be wanting to do a little shottishing in the aisles. So it's nice that you're here. Yeah. Everybody's welcome to receive Holy Communion, okay? Everyone's welcome at the table of the Lord. A couple of other announcements. You notice all the lutefisk dinners there are down there? Go and enjoy, because you won't get lutefisk in this church. But 2 weeks from now, on the last Saturday of the month, we have our holiday bazaar. And there's a bunch of sign-up sheets for people who would like to help out. Please feel free to do that. You learn and get to know people who you're working next to. In the first service, someone said, don't forget to sell your raffle tickets. And then someone said, don't forget to buy them either. So those raffle tickets are there. The gals get together 3 days to make lefse. If you had something you're interested in, come on over and make some lefse. Mike, do you know how to make lefse? Well, this is the year. You don't have to be a female. Yeah, okay. Yeah, what are you smiling at? Okay. otherwise, they're cleaning ditches on Wednesday. Come and help with that. The rest of the announcements you can be responsible for. It's nice that you're here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us safely to the beginning of this day. Thank you for the sun that shines. May it shine and your sun shine in our heart today as we participate in this wonderful service. Allow your spirit to come alive in us again, that we can be refreshed and renewed and ready to take on the concerns of the day. Send your spirit, Lord, as we gather around your holy table. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up. Stand up. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We have come to worship in spirit and truth.
God is with us. God lives.
We have come to share the good news.
The Spirit of God is moving among us. The Spirit of God is leading and strengthening us.
We have come to confirm the active presence of the Spirit of God.
God is at work among and within our world and next in us.
In us and those around us to make all things new. Pray. Almighty and most merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, and that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Jesus, brother.
Our first lesson today is the psalm. And your refrain is, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, which is read following the large R. And please respond where the words are darkened. Hallelujah, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. Great are your words, O Lord, pondered by all who delight in them. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever. You cause your wonders to be remembered. You are gracious and full of compassion. You give food to those who fear you, remembering forever your covenant.
You have shown your people of the power of your works
in giving them the lands of the nations. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. The works of your hand are faithfulness and justice. All of your precepts are sure. They stand last forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity. You sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice this have a good understanding. God's praise endures forever. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. The second reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Though Paul is chained as a prisoner, he reminds Timothy that the word of God is never shackled or confined. He encourages his young friend to proclaim that word of freedom in an honest and upright life, as well as his teaching and preaching. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, we will also deny us. If we are faithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. Here ends the reading. Please rise for the gospel.
The gospel for this 21st Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 17th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 11th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well. The word of God, the word of life.
Praise to you, O God.
be seated. You remember the words to that song when they used to sing them back in the 50s? Just because you think you're so pretty, just because you think you're so hot, just because you think you've got something that nobody else has got. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, even I remember that. Rhoda and Doug, these folks are from Burnsville, but Belle Plaine, where my buddy Mark Johnson is the pastor now. So, yeah, well, welcome. And Carolyn Tonneson, you used to be in Fergus Falls. Yeah, so thanks for coming. Not anymore. Me either. Our lesson today on the 10 lepers. Thanks for coming, by the way. Thank you all. Thank you, too. I know you're burning your voices. You had that Oktoberfest meal. Wow. Wow.
The beer cheese disappeared really fast.
The beer cheese. Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me knowing this congregation. 10 lepers. Interesting lesson. Jesus is on his way on the northern border of Israel, going between Galilee and Samaria. He's busy going to a new village. 10 people meet him. They're lepers. And they call out to him, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, you should understand something about leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that attacks your nerve endings. So all of a sudden, you might be using a tool with a knife, cutting an onion, and you'll cut your finger. You won't even feel it. The end of your finger might come off. You don't feel your appendages. Your nose could come off, or your ears would just fall off. It eats your body away, and you don't feel it. But it's a disease that spreads. And so people who had leprosy in Jesus' day were set apart. And back in Leviticus, which was written about 1,000 years before Christ, leprosy was a big thing. And because the Old Testament and the New Testament is about relationships, it's how family and how villages, how people get along. One of the ways to safeguard the Hebrew people was to separate themselves from people who had leprosy. So if you were a leper, you couldn't go near family. You couldn't go into village. If you came across, they had to live outside the city walls. If you came across someone, you had to holler out, "Unclean, unclean." And people would know that there's lepers. And then they also had to wear black. Leviticus, "His clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean.'" And then after he's banished as an outcast and ostracized in society, Leviticus also says, "All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He's unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." I mean, they couldn't live within the walls of the city. So they had to live in maybe some cave. And a bunch of them usually lived together to gather around the fire to have fellowship. Or they'd live in some hole, or they'd just be out in the desert somewhere. But they were outcasts. And you could have nothing to do with them. And the people didn't want the leprosy to spread, so they didn't see their family, or the only friends they had were other lepers, huh? I'm trying to imagine the anguish and the heartbreak for those people who had leprosy. Completely cut off. Imagine if you were completely cut off from your neighborhood, from your family, from your kids and grandkids, from your friends. I mean, there'd be no cards down at one of those places you play cards, whatever. So Jesus comes along. Jesus is known as a miracle worker. Leprosy was so bad that only God could heal. And Jesus had healed some other lepers. So they see Jesus. They don't know where Jesus is going, if he's got some important meeting, some place he had to get. They find out Jesus is there. They come within the distance and they holler, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And they cry out over and over again, "Have pity on us." And Jesus stops. As I think about that, have you ever been in a place where you've been so desperate, I mean, just at the end of your rope, that you got to holler out, "Jesus, have pity on us"? Have you cried that out in your prayers? Have you cried for someone you love going through some strange disease or bad accident. Good people can be afflicted in terrible ways. And the pain isn't always just physical. They're not worried so much about their physical pain, I don't suppose. But because they hadn't seen family, they hadn't seen friends, they're outcast, they can't go to town, they're separated. The emotional pain, the mental pain, the pain from not belonging anywhere, not being good enough, and not being able to do anything about your disease, so you'd do anything. I'm thinking about, even today, that happens, obviously. Thinking about our football player, Adrian Peterson, lost his 2-year-old son. And I'm sure he's feeling guilt over the whole situation, not being there and whatever he's done, but no 2-year-old deserves to be beaten to death. The pain and suffering, that's just an example. I was reading about suicide the other day. In America today, 300,000 men and women will commit suicide. Over half of that number will be men between the ages of 25 and 65. They'll commit suicide. Most of them probably aren't in physical pain, but there's emotional pain going on, spiritual pain going on, loss going on, hurt going on, emptiness. That can be every bit as devastating as physical pain. So today we talk about the healing faith that a Christian has in Jesus Christ. This faith not only takes place physically, but emotionally and spiritually. Lots of us have been in places where we need healing. Lots of us maybe have cried out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Or, "Jesus, Master, have pity on my kids who are in trouble, or my grandkids, or my neighbors, or our situation that we're going through." That's the first thing. I hope we can identify with these lepers. I mean, they're outcasts and there's no hope. They got this disease and they can't go in town. So they're crying out. They're following Jesus. They'll look anywhere for help, and Jesus is there. And Jesus did have more than pity on them, huh? When he saw him, he says, "Go show yourself to the priest." That's another way of saying, if you go and show yourself to the priest is the only one who can say, you can go back to the village, you are cleansed now. You'll do these purification rites, and you can go back to your families. So when Jesus says, "Go, show yourself to the priest," they're thinking something's going to happen. So they off they go. These 10 lepers listen to Jesus. Christ hears our pleas as well. When we cry out to him, he's every bit alive today in our lives as he was for these 10 lepers. A lady was telling me a story about one of the gals in her church who was in despair. She had a terminal illness, and this gal would visit her, you know, every day, every other day. One day, this ill woman was so despondent that she was standing in front of her living room window. She said, "It feels like God is completely shut out of my life." And with that, she closed the living room drapes. This gal said, "You know," I said, "Well, what did you do then?" She says, "Well, just because you closed the doors," this is what she said to her, "it doesn't mean that the sun still isn't shining. Just because we don't experience God's presence in our pain and in our suffering doesn't mean that God has forgotten us. He's always going to be with us. That's the promise. That's his promise to us." You see, healing faith is the conviction that even though our circumstances are dire, there's a loving God who watches over us and who will always be with us. When we're going through those dark, dark times, Jesus is always with us. And if we stay the course, if we continue to trust that God is there, he will be with us. And he'll bring us through to the other end. You hate going through those black places, those dark places, those bad places, huh? But this is a statement of mature faith. How many times have you looked back over your life and realized that the situation you thought was hopeless wasn't hopeless at all? You came through. And what's that old country western song, Daryl? If it doesn't kill you, you'll come out stronger. That's what happens here. If it's not going to kill us, we'll be stronger at the end. We'll be wiser at the end. We'll be able to help someone else going down the road. Some of you can give testimony to how you've experienced pain and suffering and hardship, and now you're on the other side of things, and you've been able to help other people. And it's made you stronger. The whole key with this suffering business, I think, is to hold on to God's promises. Jesus instructed these guys with leprosy to show themselves to the priest. This was to give witness to the healing that was going to take place. And it's also a witness that if we trust in Jesus and obey Jesus, knowing that he's going to be with us, we will get through whatever the world throws our way. I read a story recently about Alan Shepard back in 1961. He was the first American to go into outer space on a rocket. In this article, one of the doctors in the space program was writing it. He asked Alan Shepard what his thoughts were. He's sitting at the top of the Redstone rocket waiting for liftoff, and he answered with a quip that's become almost immortal. Alan Shepard said what bothered him most was that every part of that rocket in which he sat was built by the lowest bidder. He wasn't really confident that this would work, but he was a test pilot. And so he shoots up, and he's going, the farther he gets into the atmosphere, all of a sudden the rocket starts rattling and rattling and rattling. And he realizes, though, that the closer you get to the sound pressure or the sound barrier, the air resistance is more difficult and difficult and difficult because you're going faster and faster. Pretty soon he's shaking so much he can't see the instrumentation. He's about ready to call down to the control, but he said just before he pushed the control to talk with them and share that he couldn't even see the instruments, it's shaking so much, he was afraid they'd call off the shot, that they would panic and abort the mission. So he held on, and within 30 seconds, all of a sudden, he crossed that sound barrier. He was outside of the rattling part, and everything just was quiet and smooth and contained. And this author who's writing this says, when we experience a little turbulence, we're tempted to abort the mission too soon. This author says, hang on in those times. When times are tough, when times are black, when our roots are being shaken, hang on, because you never know. You may never walk upon the moon, but you will walk more confidently and gladly upon the earth. Hang on when times are tough. Trust that God's with you, and he'll be with you. And I think that's true. Healing faith is about holding on and trusting God no matter what the world throws your way. Wait for God's salvation. One more thing that happens in this story. One of the ten returns. It's about developing a sense of gratitude in our lives for what God has done for us. You know how this story ends. They're all ten healed. One returns. He's so happy. He throws himself down at Jesus' feet and says, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus asks, weren't ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise but this foreigner? The word foreigner is big in this because this foreigner was a Samaritan. He wasn't one of the chosen people of God, an Israelite. He was an outcast already from Israel, and he was a foreigner, which really put him outside. So he didn't know God's love. He didn't know God's word. The other nine, they knew. They were healed. But one returns, and this foreigner, it happens to be this foreigner. His was a greater gratitude. Not only did he find healing for his body, but he found healing for his soul. He found salvation, healing of emotions, healing of spirits, healing because he knew God's love was with him. You and I have tend to take for granted the healing that we have received in our lives. This guy knew that he was loved by God. Jesus says, rise and go forth. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. In other words, Jesus is pronouncing that this man is not only physically healed, but emotionally healed, spiritually healed. And that's the meaning of salvation. It means being made whole in every respect. In every respect. I hope We throw that word salvation out. We wonder what it means. It means being healed inside and out, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And I hope you know you're loved. That's what this guy found, by the creator of the universe. He loves us absolutely, and he'll never leave us. That's his promise, and that's our faith. These 10 men had the most dreaded disease of the day. One who was a foreigner knew the healing that he received in return and said thanks. Maybe we should be saying thanks for all the blessings we have. And maybe the question we should think about then is, how about you today? Do you have a need for healing in your body, in your spirit, in your marriage, in your emotions? Is there someone around you who needs God's healing? Good place to begin is to thank Jesus for the good things that he's placed in your life already. And then to go forth from this place holding on to his promise that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. His promise, he'll always be there for us. I don't know when, and I don't know where, and I don't know under what circumstances, but whatever happens to you, whatever comes your way, with God, as you trust him, someday you'll be made whole. Just keep trusting God. I think that's the message for the day. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. God of holy relationship, Remain steadfast in the covenant that you have established with your people, especially when we're not faithful. Draw others into your life by our witness. Hear us, O God. Bring clean, refreshing, and healing water to dry places. Quench the thirsty, wash away disease, soothe those who are weary with this simple gift that you abundantly give. Hear us, O God. The cries of those who struggle because they cannot access health care or pay their bills. Deliver your justice to them, that they may also receive the benefits we all enjoy. Hear us, O God. Reveal yourself to those who face serious illness. Especially remember in our prayers this morning Mary England, Ron Hass, Dave Groth, Frank Dressley, Dean Newman, and those in our lives who need your healing touch. Stand with them in their difficult situations. Give healing that you alone can give. Hear us, O God. Living God, giving thanks for saints who shout their praise to you, we lift our faithful voices together in praise until all nations are gathered in your presence. Into your hands, O Holy One, we entrust all for whom we pray, confident in your abundant and abiding mercy, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you always. We'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering.
Thank you.
offertory response. Join together in the offertory prayer. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have blessed us with your goodness. You have given us ourselves, our time, and our possessions. May these gifts be used in the care and healing of all that you made, for the sake of the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Welcome to the celebration. God, who supplies our every need, has given us this meal to share.
God, we thank you for the bread of eternal life.
We come to the table acknowledging our shortcomings and our need to experience your presence in bread and wine.
God, we thank you for the bread of eternal life.
It is our duty and delight, always and everywhere, to give praise and thanks to you, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is living bread that came down from heaven. So with the church on earth, all creation, and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Together in the black. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me will never hunger. And Jesus took the bread, broke it, and gave it to his friends, saying, take this and eat it. Do this to remember me.
Jesus said, I am the water of life, springing up to life eternal.
And Jesus took a cup, gave thanks, and shared it with his friends, saying, drink this, all of you. For this is the new covenant established between us forever. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, they will live forever. And the bread which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Let's join in the words our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. For kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus invites all of creation to taste and see that God is good. Come to the table, taste the feast that brings life to the world. All are welcome at the table of the Lord. Today we'll use intinction. If you are gluten intolerant, let me know, and I've got the bread for you that doesn't have the flour. We'll take and dip our wafers into the wine or into the grape juice. The table is set. Come and eat and drink.
To become the Lamb of God.
rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the Pennsylvania. Join together in the closing prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, you open the doors of heaven, giving us every generous and perfect gift from above. Lift our eyes from the food that perishes, and nourish us now with the food that endures for eternal life. Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thank you.